Friends, you know that in the book, Branch Banking and Role of Bank Branch Managers, we have already discussed around 17 chapters, and that was the 17th chapter was the last chapter what we have concluded. However, during the course of this last 3 to 4 years time, there are a lot of developments happened in the industry, particularly banking industry. And that is why there is a requirement of adding these development into your syllabus or chapter. So under these circumstances, we are here today to discuss this chapter, that is chapter 18, recent developments in the banking industry. So as to understand exactly what happened in the past 3-4 years time, we have devised a structure of this chapter in such a manner that you will come to know what exactly was happened and what are the development took place. I am concentrating on 3 major aspects. One, development of the new banks, then or introduction of the new bank, emergence of the new bank, then there may be merger and amalgamation happened in the banking industry, and third option is privatization of the state-run banks. So these 3 aspects are very crucial. And as a branch manager, as a bank branch manager, you must know what is happened under you. So now we are continuing with this structure where we are going to cover the emergence of the differentiated banks. Then type of differentiated bank, there are only 2 types currently. The banks, one is a payment bank, another one is a small finance bank. Third one is newly proposed differentiated bank. Because these 2 banks were already proposed and that is already functioning, that is payment bank and small finance bank. Whereas new proposed differentiated banks are also, there are 2 different categories that we are also going to discuss. What are these 2 new banks, new types of proposed banks. Then merger, as I rightly said some time back, that merger of the banks, and subsequently, government is thinking of privatization of the state-run banks also. So under these circumstances, we have to discuss little bit in brief the structure, little bit brief about the changes which have happened in the industry. Now I am introducing little bit a combined development about how these changes have come into the place. One, for doing the changes, you are aware of that, the Reserve Bank of India is the regulatory authority for the banking industry. Okay, so when, as and when the government takes call, they instruct the Reserve Bank of India to do certain thing and develop certain new things so as to sustain in the economy. So that RBI suggests or they set up the panel of eminent bankers. Accordingly, they are constituting their internal group with these talented people. They are also discussing with the government, and the measures which they wanted to implement in the economy, they will design for the futuristic mindset to expand the banking network that should help the economy and also for its growth potential of the economy. The internal working group, popularly called as IWG, internal working group, with recommendation to allow the non-banking financial companies, which are owned by the corporates, private entrepreneurs, with the asset size of 50,000 crores and above, or can be, whether it can be converted into bank or not, to decide that, internal working group was constituted by Reserve Bank of India. And the RBI panel, according to the recommendation of this internal working group, takes the decision. And after that, the RBI panel, they were also open for some kind of payment banks with 3 years operational experience covering the small finance bank, which is called as SFB also. For doing all these changes, definitely this is a policy change. And this policy change, or this change, is required to be converted into the policy. So there is a shift in the policy. So small finance bank and payment banks, they thought that it has to be listed within 6 years from the date of reaching to its net worth, which is equivalent to the entry requirement which was prescribed for the universal bank as 1,000 crores, universal banks, or 10 years from the date of commencement, whichever is earlier. So once they achieve this 10,000 crores net worth, thereafter they can be converted into small finance bank. That is, payment bank will be converted into small finance bank. Now, when we talk about the capital, there are shareholders. Now, promoter shareholding has to be raised from 15% to 24%. That is what one of the recommendation. While non-promoter shareholders, whose voting equity, which is capped up to 15% of the equity holding. Continuing this policy shift, there is another provision which is required to be made in the policy, is that it provides a right balance to the stakeholders and makes an entry into the banking to the attractive value proposition. That means minimum entry level capital for the universal bank, which was pegged at 1,000 crores and it was proposed to be a 300 crores for small finance bank. What was the capital requirement for the these universal banks? It was 1,000 crores rupees. Whereas in new policy for establishing the small finance bank, the capital requirement was minimum standard was advised that it should not be less than rupees 300 crores. However, in payment bank, there is no change proposed. In payment bank, what they used to do? They used to do the capital requirement suggested that it should be 100 crores only. So in short, the capital requirement of universal bank is 1,000 crores, capital requirement for small finance bank is 300 crores, and the capital requirement for the payment bank, it is 100 crores. With this, there is a trend in the banking growth. The entry of this new generation private banks in the post-reform phase, and also differentiated banks. I will explain you what is the differentiated banks subsequently also. But these new types of banks are considered as a differentiated bank, that is small finance bank and payment bank. And they have added a new dimension into the size of banking system. Because already there are state-run banks, which are universal banks, then private sector banks, then there is again subdivided into old private sector banks and new private sector banks. Then there comes some cooperative banks, then there come some local area banks. So like that, there is a huge, large number of banks are existing. In addition to that, these are the two types, one new type. That is differentiated bank category, where there are two types of banks have emerged, that is small finance bank and another one is a payment bank. This move is required the government attention, because the government thought that in worldwide, if you see the scenario, as far as the economy of the country is concerned and number of banks, large banks are concerned. Worldwide, if you consider, only State Bank of India is ranking in the top 100 global banks. Whereas our economy is the fifth largest economy in the world. So this ratio is not matching. So under the circumstances, government thought there should be more number of large sized banks. So under the circumstances, there is another move of merger and amalgamation that is also separately we are going to talk about. Looking at the size and the scale of our economy, we need to have at least 5 to 6 banks in the top pecking order. One of the objectives of the large scale consolidation is public sector bank space is to improve the banking asset size. With implementing the expansion of number of banks and non-banks, the onus of the central bank, that is Reserve Bank of India, to oversee the orderliness and sustainability and compliance standard, definitely that will be increased, and so there will be more burden on the regulators. So the task of expanding the country's banking system is daunting. The low asset size banks or banking system is obviously is a weakness that needs to be kept in mind by the stakeholders in articulating the future growth strategy. But in the long run, the new approach to expand the banks is a crucial to ensure the multidimensional growth to the fast forward India, which is expected or dreaming about $5 trillion economy. This is what our Prime Minister has also put in the parliament, that our economy will be what we are seeing or forwarding, or we look forward is for the $5 trillion economy. With this introduction, we come to the exactly point, that is emergence of the differentiated banks. Why the differentiated banks are required? Despite having these many number of banks, on one side, you are thinking of consolidation as far as the asset size of the banks are concerned. You are consolidating and making the larger banks. On the other side, you are again, government is again entering into another phase of development of the new banks, and that banks are differentiated banks. How these banks are differentiated banks, and what is the purpose of emergence of or establishing of these differentiated banks, that we have to see now. While continuing this financial inclusion, you may be well aware that what is the financial inclusion. Financial inclusion is nothing but it is banking should go to the doorsteps of the consumer, even in the absolutely remote area places. That was the main aim, so as to reach to that difficult area and that to the last person who is in exactly remote area, to that person banking facility should be provided, and he should not be deprived of not having the banking facility. So under the circumstances, financial inclusion came into existence, and the efforts through the existing banking structure also made by the government. However, RBI thought that the existing measures are not enough or adequate to speed up the process and achieve the goal of inclusiveness, that is financial inclusiveness, and making available banking services to the remote area. In view of this, on the recommendation of the Government of India, the high-level committee was constituted high-level committee was constituted so as to take into consideration the financial sector reforms. And this committee was chaired by our earlier Governor of Reserve Bank of India, that Mr. Dr. Raghuram Rajan. And he was appointed by the Government of India, and he submitted his report in 2008. The committee, on its recommendation, states that, or suggested that, there is a scope for shift in the strategy, and the emphasis was laid down that it should be shifted from large bank-led to the public sector-dominated strategy to the efficiency and innovative-oriented approach. This is the large shift, because large-size banks, public sector, that is government undertaking, strategy was well-defined. But what is required? Institutional structure which can focus on the low cost and see the poor is profitable and is required to serve in underserved areas. That was the requirement or concept kept in the mind. It therefore recommended that the entry of the private deposit taking and well-governed small finance bank should be came into existence, or it should be established. Therefore, in the year September 2015, RBI announced, in view of this recommendation, RBI announced the list of 10 entities, 10 entities who are qualified to open the small finance bank. Now, while approving or announcing to open the small finance bank, their objectives were also defined simultaneously. The objective of introducing the small finance bank is furthering the financial inclusion by pooling the savings and allocating the credit to the small units, micro enterprises, and units which are situated in unorganized sector through the high-tech and low-cost operations. In September 2013, what happens? Reserve Bank of India has constituted one more committee on comprehensive financial services for small business and low-income households under the chairmanship of Dr. Nachiket Mor, or Sri Nachiket Mor, who was ex-ED of ICICI Bank. The committee under Nachiket Mor submitted its report in January 2014, and among the various recommendations, including the earlier committee report of Dr. Raghuram Rajan, this committee has recommended setting up of a new category of the bank, which is called as payment bank. So, how the payment bank and small finance bank came into existence? Because of these two internal working groups committee set up and its report, which was submitted to RBI, and then came into the existence these two banks. These two banks are classified by Reserve Bank of India as differentiated banking, under the category of differentiated banking. What is differentiated banking? The differentiated banks are the banking institutions licensed by RBI to provide a specific banking services and products. Currently, public sector banks and private sector banks are giving all the banking facilities and services to the consumers. But these two types of banks, that is small finance bank and payment banks, they have to give a specified services and offer the specified product to the consumer. So it is a system which refers to the system of the different licenses for different subcomponents of the banking sector, such as limited banking license, commercial banking license, etc. So accordingly, these two banks are covered under a differentiated license, will allow these banks to offer the product only to the select consumer in select areas. The main aim of giving this license to the differentiated banks is to promote the financial inclusion and also promote the payments system. Okay? The term differentiated bank, as the name indicates, that they are different from usual universal banks. The differentiated banks can only give the select products like the credits, payments, deposits, likewise, with certain regulation placed by RBI. So differentiated bank licensing was launched in 2015, and the differentiated banks are came into existence. These two types of banks, again I am telling that these are the payment bank and another one is small finance bank. Based on the recommendation, let us understand now, when the banks were set up, first type of bank which was set up is payment bank. Payment bank, as I said earlier also, on the recommendation of the committee constituted by Reserve Bank of India under the chairmanship of Mr. Nachiket Mor, and these payment banks can be established under to do the banking business under the Banking Regulation Act 1949, and these also should be required to register with the Register of Companies under the Companies Act. The main objective of setting up the payment banks for the purpose of financial inclusion is only taking into consideration two aspects. One is a small saving account and another one is payment services. So receive the deposit and make the payment. These are the only activities has to be conducted by this payment bank. Friends, here we are talking more deep about the payments bank, which will be followed by, again, discussion on the small finance bank. Let us continue our discussion on these payment banks. Now, having established the payment banks, we must understand some of the key features of these payment banks. What are the key features? Characteristic features. The non-finance company, entities, and existing non-bank prepaid instruments issuer may apply for this payment bank to the Reserve Bank of India. What is required to establish the payment bank? It requires the minimum capital of the payment bank is rupees 100 crores. No doubt, foreign shareholding is also allowed into these banks, that is payment banks, but as per the regulation of FDI, that is foreign direct investment. Payment banks cannot provide the lending services because activities are only two: receive the deposit and make the payment. So there is no question of again offering any lending services, but these banks are allowed to market the financial products such as mutual funds and the insurance product. However, the bank must use the term payment banks in its name, differentiated from the other banks. That means whenever the bank is established, their name plate or name board, that name should, in that name, there should be mention of the term called as payment bank. Payment bank, whatever may be the name, Say, for example, AU, Small Finance Bank, which is currently operating, right? So, like that, payment bank. Payment bank word should be there. That is what the restriction is. So, as to identify it from other banking categories. Having accepted the deposit, 25% of the bank, having given the permission to accept the deposit and expand the network, it was also given a permission or restriction that 25% of the bank branches of the payment bank must be in unbanked rural area. Wherever there is no banking at all, in that area, at least 25% of their network of the branches should be there, 25%. Then services which are provided by the payment bank consist of acceptance of the deposit. Acceptance of the deposit. This deposit is also pegged. This is also restricted. This bank cannot accept the deposit more than 1 million rupees or maybe 100 lakhs rupees. 100 lakhs, 100,000 rupees, 1 lakh rupees or 100,000 rupees. That is the maximum amount restricted initially for accepting the deposit by the payment banks. So that itself indicates that this takes care of small depositors and they are not serving to the rich individual or HNI, high net worth individuals. Okay. Then payment banks can provide the services like ATM, net banking services, debit card they can issue, and also net banking services coupled with this debit card. Current and savings account can be operated through this bank. Now coming to the conclusion, what these banks cannot do, what they are not permitted to do. One, offer credit card. They should not offer the credit cards. They should not extend loans to the beneficiaries or borrowers. They should not handle the cross-border remittances, that is inward and outward remittances. And they should not accept NRI deposits. Now the things are very clear. They are very, very restricted. Opportunities are given to this payment bank. Only take deposit and make payment, issue debit card and use the net banking facility. These are the only functions which are provided by the, which are provided by payment banks. If that is the case, in addition to that, what payment bank can do? It offers internet banking, sell the mutual funds, insurance and the pensions. Have a business correspondent and ATMs also. Business correspondent means small shops. They can make the tie-up arrangement with them so as to reach to the remote corner of the place or country's place. So as to approach through that shop to the consumer. So then established or open the ATMs, then offer bill payment services for the customers. They can also enable the transfers and remittances from the mobile phone. They can offer the forex services at charges which are lower than the bank. They can also provide the forex card to the travelers. Remember, they are not permitted to accept the deposit of NRI, but they can provide the resident per people as a forex card to the travelers who is going abroad for the traveling purpose. Then it can be usable as a debit card or ATM card all over the India. They can also offer a card acceptance mechanism to the third parties such as Apple Pay. There are, while giving this idea, there are certain challenges which are faced, or there are opportunities for the payment banks to further grow. What are these challenges? First we will see, then we will go for the opportunities. The key challenges to the payment banks consist of, one, the payment only model It is the only model, as the name indicates, that the bank is only meant for making the payment. This is the only mode. A payment-only offering is an incomplete proposition and relies highly on the low ticket amount or account balances, that is up to 1 lakh for the profitability. Just take into consideration, 1 lakh is the only deposit, and within that 1 lakh, depositor has to play. So that means the amount involved in the transaction is always less than the 1 lakh rupees. And if multiple transaction, then definitely the value of the transaction will be very, very less. So under the circumstances, there is very limited profitability, and that is one of the challenge, that they are not gaining any profit out of this, doing all this, taking this deposit to the extent of per account holder only to the extent of rupees 1 lakh. Now, then cross-sell fees. Cross-sell fees means like mutual fund or what you call as insurance product. If they are they are marketing, then it is only fee-based. And it is also again regulated by the sectoral regulator, that is IRDA or SEBI. So some kind of fee also they can generate out of it. The payment bank challenges also consist of the distribution and sale of commissional capped. Commission, a large amount of commission they cannot charge. But there are also strict requirements to prevent the mis-selling. Both requires certified and trained manpower to sell the product, which implies the hiring better quality manpower, expenses on the training, and also longer gestation before resources are productive. Means once you trained, you cannot put them immediately on the job. They also require some kind of, you know, time to determine themselves to deliver it. So that is called a gestation period. So in simple word, high cost with limited income is the basic challenge which is faced by the payment bank. Restriction on the funds deployment. How the funds are to be deployed. You know, funds, there are certain strict regulation for the deployment of funds by Reserve Bank of India. One, the payment banks are, therefore, the payment banks are required to invest 75% of their CASA. CASA means current account and savings account. Balances in SLR, that is statutory liquidity ratio, in the eligible government bond or treasury bills. For the balance 25%, they can deposit in other banks, that is state cooperative banks or any public sector banks. They can deposit this 25% so as to continue in dealing with the consumers or customers. Thank you very much.